Well, I try to be as organised as Cherie, and I'm just really not as good at it. So hopefully, under the cushions, sort of this end, in the middle by the Bibles, there should be a bit of paper that looks like that. If you're in the cheap seats on the side, you probably haven't got one, but the welcome team might have some. Might be some spares in the vestry. It's not a disaster. This was such a good idea in my head. I just didn't really think it's going to take us ages to find one, isn't it? And we're going to be finding these for months to come. But what we've got on here is a number of pictures about things that we might care about. And we could add lots of other things on here. But things, the kind of things, there's a picture there of money, of friends, of sport, family, music. We could add on, I don't know, drama, art, TV, nature, science, history, politics. Should we just have a go at ranking them? Because the other thing where I'm not as organised as Cherie, I meant to put out some pens and completely forgot to do that too. So if we can draw lines between them, that's great. But if not, we might just have to chat about it. Boys and girls, find a grown-up to chat it through with. This is between you and the Lord, so be as honest or dishonest as you like. Put what you think are the right answers. Put what you think are honest answers, whatever you like. Have a minute. Let's just think about what do we care about? Fantastic. We had a chance to kind of have a think about it. I mean, we could put all kinds of other things on there, couldn't we? For most of us, we'll put family and friends number one and two, I'm guessing. If we're Christians, we know that Jesus ought to be number one. He ought to be the right answer. If we're feeling particularly honest, we might admit, actually, number one most of the time is just myself. Isn't it? That's what I like to have as number one. Let's imagine, though, that we ask God to fill in a sheet like this. And we ask them, who do you care about? Who is on your heart? If we look around a church family like this, does God play favorites? Are there people he particularly cares about? And the answer of 1 Timothy chapter 5, I think, is very surprising. Because in our world, most people are drawn to people who are famous or rich or powerful. But God isn't. See, what we get in chapter 5 is two verses about what it looks like for us to be a family. We're planning to come back to that for Mother's Day. And then 14 verses about widows. In a short letter, there are 14 verses about how people are meant to treat widows. Boys and girls, I don't know if you know what a widow is. It has nothing to do with Black Widow from Avengers, just to be clear on that. I'm sorry to disappoint anyone. A widow is someone who has lost her husband. Her husband has died. And in the ancient world, that was particularly devastating. Of course, when someone loses someone they love like that, there's all kinds of grief and sadness. But in the ancient world, there was no one to look after them. There was no social security. And it may well be that a woman was left on her own with no one to provide any security physically for her or to provide any finances for her to live on. So she was completely on her own. And yet we discover in these verses, God has a special, particular care for people who are vulnerable. So maybe there was a child in the church in Ephesus who just lost their dad, or just lost her husband, and it looked like there was no one to love and care for them. But God particularly promises to care for them. So we've got up on the screen our first heading. God has a real care for people in need. And if you've read the Bible before, this isn't going to come as a surprise. It's all through the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18, God defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow. Psalm 68, verse 5, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy place. And he doesn't patronize widows. He gives them a really important job in the church family, a job most people are not able to do. See, lots of people in the church family are very busy through the day. Maybe someone's out at work, or there's a mum chasing around after young kids, or some people are busy with all kinds of practical responsibilities. But the widows in the church family in Ephesus were given responsibility for praying. The widow who's really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. So all of us, I take it if we're Christians, want to pray. But those who've got the time to do that, given longer periods of time to be able to devote to prayer, my hunch is that we will only discover as a church family when Jesus comes back just how much we owe to the prayers of godly older women around the church family. But God has a special care, a real care, for people who are vulnerable and in need. And he wants us to have that kind of care too, but that could just be completely overwhelming. So we're going to think in a moment about what that looks like. But first, we're going to sing again of how faithful God has been to all his people throughout history. I guess if we left the sermon and 1 Timothy chapter 5 there, it would be pretty crushing, wouldn't it? God has a heart for those who are vulnerable and in need, and so should you and I. We'll go out and try and be like it. So I guess we've all heard sermons like that, and it is crushing, and if that is all the gospel is, then it's very cruel. Because you see, you and I are just not strong enough to do that. Let's, boys and girls, you may not have seen one of these before. These are very precious and expensive contraband material. This is a plastic bag. And let's imagine this plastic bag represents my life. And I have a whole load of problems to carry around. So boys and girls, I don't know what it is for you. Maybe there's homework to do. There's piano practice. There's your projects you want to get done. There's TV to watch. There's all kinds of things you need to get on with. And so there's your kind of burdens, responsibilities. Grown-ups, I guess, we'll have our own equivalents. And then there are the problems of our family. We might want to put those in there. We have our friends and their problems. And then we've got the problems of our friends' families and our family's friends. And then we could add in more and more, couldn't we? We could add in people who are homeless. We could add in people who are sick and in hospital. We could add in concerns about the environment. We could add in concerns about coronavirus. And it's very easy to hear a passage like that and think God is telling us, go out and fix it. See, how on earth am I going to pick this up? I'm not strong enough to carry that kind of load around with me. My plastic bag is going to break. What do I do with a problem like that? Yeah, normally I just give it to Scott, but you know, he's got man flu today. So what do we do with these problems? Is God telling us we've got to go out and fix the world? Well, wonderfully, this passage is very, very realistic. If our first heading was that God has a real care for those who are vulnerable and in need, our second heading is that God calls us to have a realistic care for those who are in need. See, the Bible is very clear that we are not the Saviour. Jesus is the Saviour, and we can't be. So I don't know if we spotted when Angela was reading it, how many people Timothy is going to have to say no to. So a widow comes to him asking for help, and Timothy says, how old are you? It's a bit of a rude question to ask, but she says, well, I'm 57. And he's going to have to say no. He says, we're to have a policy. Verse 9, no widow may be put on the list of widows, of people who are going to get formal help, unless she's over 60 and has been faithful to her husband and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children and showing hospitality and washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. So Paul says to Timothy, the church is not to be a soft touch. Timothy's called to help those who a generation ago would have been called the deserving poor. So he's not to fund a lifestyle of just laziness. As for younger widows, don't put them on such a list. There seems to have been an assumption that younger widows in Ephesus could remarry if they wanted to. And they'd made some kind of promise not to as they went on the list. For when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus they bring judgment on themselves because they've broken their first pledge. So there are lots of people Timothy is going to have to say no to. There are another group of people Timothy is going to have to say no to who are people who have family of their own. I've been dreading doing this talk as an all-age service all week, but the more I think about it, and I don't feel like I've done it particularly well for the kids, but boys and girls, I'm really pleased you're here to hear this. Because the Bible says that we have responsibilities to generations that are older than us. Verse 4, though if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. So in God's wisdom, the first line of defense when we are struggling to look after ourselves is our natural family. And the second line of defense is the church family. And actually, I've heard this verse preached lots of times as a beat up and a guilt trip. Actually, I think in St. James, I just want to use it to honor those people who have done an amazing job looking after parents and in-laws at huge cost themselves. It's often, not exclusively, but verse 16, it's often women doing that. And it's beautiful to see. There are people who've come and very apologetically said they've had to step back from some very time-consuming role in the church family because they've had to give more time to caring for elderly relatives. I think that's a beautiful thing. It's pleasing to God, verse 4. It's a way, the Bible says, of repaying parents for the love that they've shown us. So the Bible is deeply realistic that we are often going to have to say no as a church family to really good things. People often come to the PCC and say, can we fund various great projects or support various great projects? And we often have to say no. And that is really hard. But part of it is acknowledging that we're not God and we can't carry every problem. We can't deal with it. We can't fix everyone's problems. We're not the Savior. And yet we want to have a culture where we are wise in helping those in greatest need. A culture where we look out for the vulnerable. And the ways in which that happens already, I think, are beautiful. We don't get it right every time, but it's lovely when I hear of people visiting people who are sick and in hospital, or going around to see someone who's housebound, or helping out a single mum, or visiting elderly, giving a lift, or helping with the shopping. And we're all vulnerable at times, aren't we? I think after Noah was born, I probably wouldn't have used the language at the time, but Nick and I were both pretty fragile and vulnerable, and I was too proud to ask for help. I didn't really even know what help to ask for. And just every so often, at just the right time, there was a knock on the door and someone had brought us round a meal. It was just so, it was beautiful. It was this kind of heart concern for the vulnerable, and we were so grateful. It moved us to tears. And boys and girls, I take it this might sound like boring grown-up stuff, doesn't it? Helping people who are older than us. Actually, we can... You guys can do the most important thing of all, which is praying for people who are vulnerable. Maybe over lunch today, you could get maybe a bit of tissue paper, take a bit of tissue paper away, and ask grown-ups if there's someone at church who's been through a particularly hard time recently, who you could pray for. Maybe put it under your pillow or on the wall, and remind yourself to pray for them before going to bed. Maybe you could write or draw them a card to let them know that you're praying for them. Because we want to have that kind of culture, don't we? Where as a church family, we're looking out for those who are needy and vulnerable because that is what God is like. Alongside a healthy realism that as a church, we're very finite and our resources are very finite. So we want to help those who are in most need and we want to be wise in how we do that. I love this chapter. I found it really hard work this week. It's been very challenging. But isn't it wonderful that we have a God who cares deeply for the vulnerable and whose power is not limited? See, there is so little that we can do. We do what we can, but there are so many times we've got to say, no, God is not like that. See, here's the God who is so powerful and so good. He comes alongside not just the deserving poor. He comes alongside people like you and me, the undeserving poor who deserve nothing from his hand. He's the God who is more than strong enough to carry us. Maybe some of us this morning here feeling particularly vulnerable and shaky, when don't so much need to hear the words of encouragement to care for the vulnerable. We are the vulnerable. I need to hear these promises of God again that he's the one who cares for those who are very weak and very fragile. And he gives us the privilege of playing our part in doing that. Amen.